Good afternoon. Welcome back to another one of these recorded messages, which is meant to be for the young people, particularly from the young people of Shepherd's Bush. Because of COVID, we haven't been able to meet with the young people in the church for just about a year now, just a week short of a year, I think it is. But anyway, so we wanted the young people to have the opportunity to be able to listen to something from the Bible, some messages of the gospel, to help them to remember those things which they've heard about in the past, and to help them to think really seriously about the things of the Bible, because it's so, so important. Now, we hope in the coming weeks, we don't know exactly when, that we'll be able to meet again in the church. But until then, we're going to continue with these messages so that the young people particularly can think about these things. Now, we've got some new things to do today. You may remember that we finished the Ten Commandments last week. I hope you found that interesting. And don't forget that it's impossible to keep all of the Ten Commandments. And that's why we have to have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, which is so, so important. And I hope that the young people will have remembered that message, which has always been constant from the teaching of our church. So we're going to think about something else today. Now, I'm going to click the screen and make some noises and all that sort of stuff. Let's see how we get on with that. And we're going to think about what is called the catechism. The catechism. Now, a catechism is a very, very, very old word indeed. And basically, what it is just a series of questions with answers which are used to teach Bible truths in a very short and what we would call a concise way, so that youngsters are able to understand these things. And we're going to go through them, just the first three. I'm going to start doing that today, if I can find the right button to press. Let's see how we get on. Okay, now then, here's the first one. So this is the first question. Now, I've taken out the answer so that we can just for a moment pause and think about what the answer is and how you may think about the answer yourselves. Who made you? Now, hopefully it's fairly obvious. God made me. Now, I'm sure at school you will be taught nowadays that we just came out of some muddy pond or a puddle somewhere. But no, God made us. Now, with all of these catechism questions, we're going to back it up by verses of scripture. And the first one is this one, Job 33, verse 4. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. How special we are. How special we are. Now, we've used this one quite a bit in these little recorded messages, Psalm 139, 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And the last one was a very popular one, which we've used quite a lot. Now then, we're moving on. What else did God make? Did God only make the human race? God made all things. God made all things. And we've got some verses from the Bible to back that up. Genesis 1:31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all of the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 148, verse 5. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. So that's very interesting, isn't it? Now, the last one for today. Why did God make all things? That's more of an interesting one, isn't it? Do we know the answer to that? Why did God make all things? God made them for his own glory. And we've got some Bible verses to help us to understand that. Psalm 19, verse 1. the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Now, there's a very old word, firmament. Maybe ask your mum or your dad, whoever's with you, what's firmament? It's a difficult one to even say. But the firmament is the expanse of the heavens. Now, you may recall in weeks gone by, we talked about the scale of the universe, how massive it is. And possibly there are billions and trillions of stars, and it's so big. Another verse, Isaiah 43, verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. And just one more. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, that puts a huge responsibility on us, doesn't it? Do we behave and do all things to the glory of God? That's a real challenge, a real challenge. Anyway, there we go. I hope you found those interesting. They're good things to have in your mind. So maybe when you look back over this, you can think about these things in a bit more time and detail. We're going to move on now. We've got a memory verse.
2 weeks ago, I taught you a verse from the New Testament. And this time we're going to learn a verse from the Old Testament. And it is from Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure, is a shield to those who put their trust in him. What does this verse mean? The whole scripture, that means the whole Bible, was given by God. It is pure, true, reliable, and perfectly trustworthy. You can't add to it or take away from it. God's word is equivalent to himself. He speaks to us through the Bible. A shield is a defense or refuge. When we put our trust in God, he protects us from the attack of the devil, from sin, and from all error and false teaching. May the Lord help us to trust him and his word. He's perfect in all his ways, and all his promises are trustworthy and true. Amen. Let's see if you remember the verse. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Okay, let's say it again all together. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield to those who put their trust in him. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you very much indeed. It's a question for us, isn't it? Is our trust in God through the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to think about that because it's so, so important. We need to think again now because it's quiz time.
I hope that you were listening or watching last week because these questions are all to do with last week's lesson. Here we go. First question. Can you remember what country was making war against Israel? Time's up. Did you get it? Yes, it was Syria. Next question. Why were the Syrians never able to ambush the Israelite army? Time's up. Elisha advised the king where God had revealed to him that the Syrians would be waiting. So the king knew not to go there. Next question. How did Elisha encourage his servant when he saw they were surrounded by the Syrian army? Did you get it? He asked the Lord to show his servant the armies of God surrounding them all. Next question. How did God confuse the Syrian army? Did you remember? They were made blind. Next question. What surprising thing did Elisha advise the Israelite king to do with the prisoners? Did you remember? He prepared a great feast for them.
Okay, thank you very much. So we left the story of Elisha last week from the Old Testament. I hope you enjoyed that. Some really good stories there, some really good things from the Bible. But we're going to move back now into the New Testament, the newer part of the Bible story. And we're going to think about the life and times of Saul, whose name was later changed to Paul. Now, we're going to think about his early days, his early days. We don't know too much about Saul. And the introduction of Saul into the Bible is during a very, very sad event. Now, you have to bear with me because it takes a little time to get to Saul, but we'll see how we go. So the Lord Jesus, when he went back to heaven after he had died on the cross and had risen again from death, promised a helper to his people. Do you know who that was? It was the very Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit came to the front of the work at a time called Pentecost. Now, we will think about that time in detail in future weeks in another story. But at Pentecost, many people, thousands of people, came to know and love and trust the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. But believe it or not, this situation did bring about some problems to the early church. There were concerns that the apostles, the leaders of the early church, could not do all the day-to-day care work for the growing church, as they should be concentrating on the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the apostles called the church together and laid out the problems to them. The answer proposed by the apostles was for the church to choose seven men, and they were going to be called deacons. They had to be good men to work amongst the church, supporting, caring, and helping the church in any way that they could. The seven were chosen, and they were prayed over for the work which they were to do. One of them was a man named Stephen. Now, God blessed the work of the church, and in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, it tells us that even some of the priests of the temple put their trust in the Lord Jesus, showing to all through baptism their faith. Stephen was very blessed by God. The Bible in the book of Acts tells us that through God, he did great wonders and signs among the people. Now, our picture shows him being involved in healing someone. We don't actually know that from the Bible, but God blessed Stephen very much. And he may have been involved in healing, but we don't actually know. Now, not everyone was happy because of these things. Some people argued with Stephen that they could never prove his words wrong. So they schemed to accuse Stephen of blasphemy. You remember blasphemy? Speaking wrongly of God, the fourth commandment. Getting people to lie about what Stephen had said. Now, Stephen was taken before the religious leaders. Their lies were told in the hearing of the religious leaders. When the religious leaders looked at Stephen, the Bible tells us that they saw the face of an angel. Stephen preached to the gathering for quite a long time. And they did not like it. He told them of the history of Israel. He told them how they betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, killing him. They dragged Stephen outside of the city and they stoned him a horrible, brutal death. But did Stephen shout and scream and swear? No, he didn't. He asked God to receive his spirit and to forgive those who were doing this thing to him. So Stephen died and he went to heaven. Why did he go to heaven? Was it because he worked so hard supporting the local church? No. Was it because he was born in Israel? No. Was it because he suffered for God? No. Was it because he was a really nice, good man and tried to do his best all the time? No. Was it because he was really religious? No. None of these things were the reason that Stephen was going to go to heaven. Stephen went to heaven because he had his sins forgiven by trusting in the sacrifice on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ to pay the price for the punishment of Stephen's sins, which he deserved, and thereby having eternal peace with God. Now, there was someone in the crowd who was very happy to see Stephen die. A young man whose name was Saul. He was so religious that he couldn't be directly involved in the throwing of the rocks. So he said to the people who threw those terrible rocks that he would look after their coats. Now, Saul was a terrible, terrible man. He had hatred and anger in his heart, a horrible man. Could God save his soul? We're going to find that out next week. So We're going to close in prayer now, but thank you for listening. Thank you for coming along and listening and watching this again. Our numbers have dropped off recently, so if you know anybody who used to listen in to us, please remind them. That'd be a great thing to do. There again, there's some questions. There's some points of contact there. If you want to contact us and ask any questions, you'd be more than welcome. So let's close in prayer now. But Lord, our God, we do thank you for the Bible. We thank you, Lord God, that it teaches us and confirms to us so many things, that you made us, that we were made so that we could glorify you. We thank you, Lord God, in prospect for the story of Saul. We do pray, Lord God, that you may help us to really learn from this man's life. But particularly this week, Lord God, we will pray that you may help us to learn from Stephen's life how, Lord God, you blessed him and you used him, and how, Lord God, you prepared him to go to heaven through the sacrifice of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross. Continue with us now, Lord God. Watch over us, keep us safe, we do pray. And we would, Lord God, ask all of these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. Okay, thank you again. Take care, and we do hope to see you next week. Bye-bye.